My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me and that you hear me. I adore profound reverence. I ask you pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. With your permission, Sovereign Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, allow us to do our prayer tonight next to you. Thank you for being with us, your sacramental presence, where you're truly there in your body, in your soul, in humanity and divinity. The month of November begins with the solemnity of all the saints. That day of the year when we celebrate the feast of all those men and women who won eternity after a life of faithfulness to the Lord. Even though they may have suffered in this life, even though they had faults and had to begin again, countless people, both those who are canonized, officially recognized, raised to the altars, and a multitude of men and women who may not be known, and nevertheless, they enjoy the beatitude. And we try to imitate their lives and seek their intercession for us before Christ, the only mediator between God and men. And we thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the possibility, the opportunity to share in the life of the Blessed Trinity, to share in your heavenly glory if we are faithful, usque ad mortem, until death. And today I would like to invite you to reflect, to meditate on the virtue of hope. Hope, and in particular, perhaps we can say the hope to become saints. The hope that we nurture in our heart to be able to see God face to face at the end of our passage in this world. The hope to become saints, in other words. What is hope, we say, we ask? Hope is that theological virtue by which we desire to live eternal life, to possess God, to win eternity, to become a saint. The hope to fulfill that eternal happiness, that happiness that is placed by God deep in our hearts. And we aspire to become a saint, hoping to possess God, not because we are, or because of our virtues, because of our qualities, but trusting rather on the grace and the mercy of God, and who is faithful to his promise. And so one of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, hope precisely, it kind of responds to that aspiration that you and I, every man or woman, nurture in his or her heart, that aspiration to happiness, to total peace, and the possession of eternal life. But it points out also, it indicates the fact that we human beings are open to transcendence. We say we are capax Dei, capable of God. And so there is deep in the heart of every human being that longing for peace, for eternity. In the beautiful expression of Saint Augustine, Lord, you have created us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests on you. In a broad sense of the word, hope means openness to the future. It makes reference to some expectation of a good a good that I want, a good that is not yet possessed, but is possible, and with certain confidence, expectation of possessing that future good, and therefore that gives rise to desire and attraction. We may speak of human hopes. We say, I hope to finish a degree. I hope to publish a book. I hope to settle down and marry this girl. I hope to be able to, succeed in my business. Nevertheless, experience tells us that these human hopes are partial, or rather that our aspirations in this world are never totally fulfilled or satisfied. And if we are able to attain our goals only for a time and only partially, there's always something left to be desired. There's always a discrepancy between our aspirations and what we can achieve, and our longing for happiness, for perfection, for peace, and the realities of the world. And so that only points to the fact that really we are made for no less than God. There's what you call, C.S. Lewis, the argument from desire. If God has placed in our heart the desire for total happiness, total peace, satisfaction, and yet there's nothing in this world that can make us totally happy, then there must be something outside of me, outside of the world. And that's what people call heaven, eternity, and God. And I recall this artist, Norman Rockwell, who was a very popular cartoonist, illustrator, because he captured the American life, the day-to-day, common life, using his, brush. And one of his paintings is titled Breaking Home Ties. And it shows a boy, a young boy, who is graduated from high school and now going to the university. And so the painting shows the boy with his dad in a train station and looking expectant for the train to arrive with his suitcase. And I think it could be the admission to the university, the letter of admission. And so expectant of the future, looking forward to a new phase of life. But beside him, his father is kind of tired, worn out, and from, the battles of life. So it kind of represents of this is like a human hope and expectations. Now, actually, when we talk about hope, it goes deeper. We confront the most profound questions in life. What is the purpose of human existence? What am I here for, in other words? What is the ultimate meaning of life? What do we live for? And so the quest for kind of satisfactory answer to these questions, something that has baffled thinkers, philosophers from ages past. And we also know that when we pin all our hope on something or someone, what we get eventually is kind of disappointments, betrayal, abandonment, frustration. How many times did we rely on someone that we thought could be, a pillar of support, but we end up really frustrated? Now, I'm not trying to paint a negative picture here, but only to call our attention to the fact that really nothing in this world can fully satisfy the yearnings of the heart. And that reminds us of eternity. We are viatores in Latin called pilgrims, travelers. And so while we try to live in this world, immersed in our work, you know, social life, in our family, doing what we need to do, but at the same time not forgetting that we are transcendent beings and that our ultimate goal in life is not just to earn a degree, to have a good income, to be able to travel, have many friends and family. These are wonderful, but more, it goes beyond, transcend the material and the visible and the immediate thing. During the COVID years, like 2 or 3 years ago, there was a kind of a general feeling of helplessness, fear, anxiety, and questions lurking deep in the heart, in the mind of people, how long is this gonna last? And to see the people we know dying left and right, and the lack of kind of solution or vaccines or remedy or, and so we were like confined to our homes, kind of a very peculiar situation. Many of the things that we used to do, going out, traveling, dining, or going out with friends, playing sports, simply we could not do. Okay? We experienced the inability of man to kind of confront that problem. And in a way, people began to pray and discover somehow, rediscover God. And that humanity was kind of forced to bend its knees and remember that there is God. Turn to the Lord. Come to me, Jesus said, all of you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And then in Hebrew chapter 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So it is the Lord Jesus, with his resurrection, who promised us that I will go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may also be. The promise of eternal life. And as a Christian, it is good for us to make many acts of hope and to foster deep in our heart that aspiration, the desire for God, the desire for God. Lord, I long to see your face. I want to be with you. In this world that's in many ways full of deceptions, frustrations, and not that it's bad, but, you know, we should think beyond the present, no? Hope is that anchor of the soul that sustains that longing for happiness placed by the Lord deep in the human heart. It protects us from getting discouraged, keeping us steady in the face of adversity, and expands our heart, so to speak, with the hope of eternal life, eternal happiness. I come to you, O Lord Jesus, with all that weighs down my soul, with all my worries and anxieties, with all the trials that confront me, with all that troubles my heart and my mind, with all the needs of the people I love, and with all my sins and weaknesses, with my frail faith, with my wavering trust, with my imperfect love, I come to you, Lord, like the woman who had been bleeding for years, so that like her, I too would be cured by just touching the hem of your garment. I come to you like that leper who begged for your mercy, so that you would touch me and heal me, so that you would cleanse my soul and my body, so that you would grant me a new life and a new sense of purpose. You know, when somebody dies, passes away, we put that in the tomb or in the interment notice, RIP, which means requiescat in pace, or if they're plural, requiescant in pace. What does it mean? May he, may she rest, may they rest in peace. Why do we say that? Because for as long as we are in this world, we are restless. We're restless. We're always in a battle. We always have a struggle. There's always something that stands in the way of our, you know, quest for peace and happiness and meaning. And so, militia est vita hominem super terra. Man's life on earth is a combat. That's why we call it the church militant. Militant, like, you know, fighting. But once we die in the grace of God, once we possess eternity, and we see God face to face in that beatific vision, then that's when we say, may he rest in peace. That's in peace. And St. Thomas Aquinas, that great theologian, says that in this world, in fact, we will never have that kind of total happiness that is, or that we call beatitude, that's possible only in heaven. But what we have here, or the best that we can have, is felicitas, a certain satisfaction and happiness that is proper of this world, but not really beatitude. In our day-to-day life, you know, it's good to maintain that hope as Christians. Hope that is not just optimism. You know, optimism is a psychological attitude of toward life, which is thinking, think positive. You know, we read that in those kind of books of psychology and the power of positive thinking. Yes, it does help. But hope is something deeper, more than that. It's a gift of God. It presupposes God's grace and infused by the Holy Spirit into the soul of a believer. And hope is the first fruit of faith, so that if we believe in Christ and what he tells us and he reveals us, the first effect of that is to trust him. Lord, I believe in you. Tell him, I believe in you. I believe in what you said, what you revealed. Even though I may not totally understand everything, but I trust in you because you are the Lord. Ego sum via veritas et vita, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I believe in you, and therefore I trust you. I put my trust in you. We need not wonder why at times we are haunted by doubts. The fear, uncertainty is actually part, an essential part of the virtue of hope. By nature, hope includes a certain degree of uncertainty. Were it not the case, if we were totally sure of the future, then we are not talking of hope. Because according to St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way that an important element of faith is a certain degree of darkness or obscurity, even though faith is fundamentally the light of Christ, similarly, an important element of hope is uncertainty. Even though we know, we trust in God, faithful in his promise. And that translates in our practical daily life, it means in terms of having a positive outlook, a supernatural outlook, seeing the positive side of things. Perhaps these days, because of, you know, the many things happening, the recent pandemic that has taken the lives of millions of people, on the war that is going on in Ukraine, in Israel, in many parts of the world, and all those kind of threats and uncertainty. And that's in society, in the world. But what about my family, myself also, my own personal kind of life? Sometimes I'm gripped by fears. I don't know what's going to happen. And I have this fear of the unknown. Nevertheless, setbacks are never final. An author said, if we lose something, it's because God has a better thing for us. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. From Hebrews chapter 10. So hope is a basic human need. We actually need that because we do have plans, we make plans, looking forward. It could be as simple as, I'm going to travel, I'm going to talk to this person, I'm going to buy property, I'm going to whatever, no? You're hoping for something. So it's a daily staple. And so if we catch ourselves like falling into kind of pessimism or getting discouragement, it could be that we are perhaps falling into a very kind of human outlook. Lord, I tend to forget that you are there. I'm a Christian. I pray to you. I go to Mass. How come I give in to anxiety? I mean, it's normal that we worry because we're humans, but not too much, okay? It's okay to worry, but not to worry too much. Yatta super dominum curam tuam, erepsite nutret. Cast your worries on the Lord, and he will take care of you. Our life is like a golf ball. I'm not, playing golf, but I read that. You know why the golf ball has dimples? Well, it's basically aerodynamics. If the ball were smooth, without those dents, then it wouldn't go very far. But because of those dimples, it can go thrice as far. Well, in the spiritual life, that analogy, if you allow me, if everything is smooth and easy, then chances are we become complacent and perhaps proud. Lord, everything is going well in my life. I don't really need to pray. But thanks to the fact that there are dents, dimples, challenges, tough moments, then I need fortitude and I need to cling to you. Lord, those times that I kind of thought that I could do it all by myself, when I thought that I could succeed trying to prove my ability, and then I fell flat. And I simply couldn't. And I learned my lesson. Good for my humility. And so, Lord, I kind of pin my hope in you. That hope, however, that doesn't mean abandoning the world, like neglecting our duties. And, all that we do is just pray and pray and pray. No, God wants us to transform the world and to do what we have to do, our responsibility in the family, in society, in work, putting our mind at heart and the things at hand. So in a way, planting our feet on the ground, but thinking of heaven at the same time. The Apostle St. James wants us to do things always with a proper Christian perspective. Instead of saying today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there, we should rather say, if the Lord allows, we shall live and we shall do this or do that. What is your life? It is a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. The Lord Jesus assures us of the certainty of Christian hope when he said, let not your hearts be troubled. believe in God, believe also in me. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. It goes without saying that we need to pray and ask God. Lord, we say, Adlauge nobis fidem spem et caritatem. Increase our faith, our hope, and our charity, my charity. Increase my faith, my hope, and my love. Especially, Lord, when I'm faced with temptations or my recurring defects, my inability to make progress, it seems at least. Lord, dear God, I come to you with a heavy heart, seeking a renewal of my faith and hope. Help me to see the possibilities that lie ahead and to trust in your divine mercy. May your hope shine brightly in my heart and guide my steps. Lord, grant me the patience and trust to wait upon your perfect timing. I may not understand your plan. There are many things in this life that I could not fully understand, but I put my life in your hands. I know that you are there. And teach me, Lord, how to trust in you more. And so pray with hope, pray with confidence, trusting in the Lord. And it makes us somehow steady amidst the vicissitudes of life. Like the saints, even though they suffer, they encounter all kinds of trials, in a way they are not perturbed, really. There's a certain stability. And so that it's good to make many acts of hope. Lord, with my failings, you do have good reasons, really, to condemn me. But I have greater reason to count on your mercy, to hope in your pardon. I have the confidence, Lord, because you love me. I'm like a child that goes to his father. I cling to you. Once we meet Christ, never let go of him. For as long as we pin our hope in the Lord, no difficulty is too much to overcome, no hurdle too big to surmount. And unless we possess and practice the true Christian virtue of hope, our life will lack that solidity and we will live in a situation of instability. We will move very easily into presumption when everything goes well, without hitches or disappointments. And we will swing to despair, which will settle down in our soul the moment anything happens that goes against our expectations. If we really practice the virtue of hope, we become very resilient and live a trusting abandonment in constant faithfulness to our tasks that puts us precisely above that kind of fluctuation. And life is, I said, a struggle. Strive to be faithful and put ourselves in the hands of the Lord. That is always the rule of thumb. Lord, I do my best. I do everything, anything that I can, as though everything depended on me. But at the same time, I pray. I go to you and rely on you as though everything depended on you. We conclude this meditation turning to our Blessed Mother. Thank you for this evening prayer. And one of the titles of Our Lady is that she is Mother Mary, our hope, Spes Nostra. Thank you, Mother. And, you know, in moments of kind of despair or discouragement, remind me of the presence of God, and that for as long as, you know, I pray, I trust in him, I have no reason to really kind of getting discouraged or lose my hope, because sedeus nobiscum quis contra nos, if God is with us, who can be against us? I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put him into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father, Lord, my guardian angel, intercede. for me.